Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, depending on how you look at our first passage for today, the idea of the Lord raising up a prophet from the people might make sense to you. It might bring you comfort. Or might anger you a little bit. In one right, at least as Montanans, the idea of a prophet being of the people, for the people, probably makes a lot of sense. Every election campaign that I've witnessed in this state so far has candidates touting their Montana outdoorsman credibility, right? And usually tries to disparage the opposing candidate as somehow not a true Montanan. I get a kick out of the number of candidates who respond to attack ads by putting up their own TV commercials with them shooting at TVs that have the opponent's attack ad on. I mean, what's more Montanan than shooting at TVs, right? The same is true on the federal level, with candidates trying to promote themselves as true Americans, indicating that the opposition is somehow less American. Now, this gets a little wonky since diversity in culture and ethnic background is a fundamental American value written into the Constitution and our Bill of Rights. But this kind of thinking does connect with at least some voters because we generally have an understanding of what it means to have one of our own in the lead. The idea of God raising up a prophet from the people for the people seems as natural today as it did 3,000 years ago. On the other hand, this passage may get under your skin a little bit. Though the Lord promised the people a prophet of their own, it also meant that they needed a prophet. The implication is that they were somehow lacking and could not interpret the Lord's will and word for their lives on their own. I can imagine many of those ancient Israelites griping and saying, "What do you mean I need a prophet? I followed Moses through the desert for 40 years, and I outlived him. I'm my own prophet." Perhaps this is just a perspective of our hyper-individualized American mindset. But I have met many people who think and tend to operate this way. For instance, many people consider the prospect of going to church to be unnecessary because they can interpret scripture for themselves. So why would they need to listen to a preacher? I hope I'm not giving anybody ideas here.
Stay.
However, these responses miss the point. Sure, it is nice that the prophet is from among the people, but God could raise up an outsider just as well as an insider. Indeed, God has done this many times throughout Scripture, to great and important ends. And of course, we do often come before God on our own without the help of a prophet or a pastor. But if we are being honest with ourselves, we must acknowledge that we need help in our walk with God. And it is good if that help comes from one who knows and understands us. That is the power of God promising to raise up for the tribe of Israel a prophet who is one of their own. The prophet would lead them in the ways they could understand while guiding them to the new places where they should be going. This is the role of the prophet that Jesus embodied centuries later. I've always loved the scene that Mark lays out on how Jesus rolled into the synagogue and started teaching. It says, "They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Jesus was not wishy-washy about the power of the good news that he embodied, but spoke confidently with the power of God at his back and in his soul too. I think that the world needs people of faith to be confident in the power and authority that Jesus has over our lives. If we are not strong in our own faith and belief, then why would we expect anybody else to be? Jesus distinguished his teachings from the scribes by speaking with authority. By doing so, he distinguished himself from them as well. And furthermore, while Jesus distinguished himself from the scribes through his teaching, he ended up distinguishing himself even further by taking on evil itself. His authority was not merely in words, but in his ability to exercise power over demonic forces in this world. While he was teaching, a man possessed by demons invaded the synagogue and disrupted everything by crying out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." The demons possessing this man were the very first ones to identify who Jesus actually was in the Gospel of Mark. And it's interesting that evil ended up revealing the good and did so by meeting its own demise. When Jesus rebuked the demons and demanded that they come out of the man, those in the synagogue were convinced of Jesus' holiness, his power, and his authority, because he could command even evil beings. As much as we may wish it were different, the ability of evil to evoke the good is alive and well around here today. Just as Jesus' power and goodness were revealed by the demons outing him and then being cast out in return, evil continues to call forth the good while it tries to tear people down. The evil of parents abandoning their children in pursuit of alcohol or drugs or destructive romantic relationships draws out the generosity and profound goodness of foster parents and parents willing to adopt so that children may be saved from the sins of their biological parents. Violence in families and relationships has evoked organizations like Safe Harbor to provide safety for women and children who need protection from those that abuse them. Forces of poverty and hunger have led us to support the ministries of Shepherd's Table and Breadbasket as they feed families, as well as support the kitchens of Boys and Girls Club and the kitchens of the school systems around the valley as they provide for food to children who would otherwise go hungry. Forces of evil that try to get us to despair lead us to church so that we support one another in faith, hope, and love, reassuring everyone in our community that though things get tough in this life, there's much more to living than the moments that bring us down. Just as evil called out the good in Jesus, evil continues to call out the good among us as well. That is why we need prophets from among us to be raised up by the Lord our God. Individuals who can lead us when evil tries to break us, but when evil ends up calling out the good instead. We need to join together and constantly encourage one another in pushing back against the evil forces that would hold us down and fight for the good that will lead us forward. It is tempting out west here, us capable, self-reliant folks, to think that we can do it all by ourselves. We are used to getting by on our own out here because often there are not any specialists or professionals that we can call to help us, and even if there were, we probably couldn't afford to pay them. But when it comes to spiritual matters, getting by on our own really means getting by together, holding one another up in prayer, supporting one another in times of need, and celebrating with one another in times of joy. It is good and holy to have leaders who help us in our prayers, provide direction for how to support the needs that surround us, and at times overwhelm us, as well as leaders, to lead us in our moments of rejoicing. That is why God promised to raise up a prophet from among the chosen tribe of Israelites so long ago. And that is why God still raises up leaders among us today. I am grateful that God promises to help us find our way forward and fights evil for us along the way. If everything were left up to us, I'm sure we would find a way to mess it up somehow. But God intercedes on our behalf, raising up voices to provide leadership within our midst and casting out the evil that surrounds us. When I think about how God provides for us, I am glad that we are not alone. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.